Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and this is the recap episode for this past Sunday's game. The Seahawks lost to the Los Angeles Rams by a score of 36-31. Another close loss that really came down to the wire against the Rams. And it's a little bit of what we expected, a little bit not what we expected, but it was a really fun game all in all. Before we get into the thick of things, before we go over the game a little more in depth, we'll do a quick intro. I am Grant Goldberg. I am the co-host of this Locked On Seahawks podcast, and I do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. And Spike is a writer with The Stranger, and neither of us LA area residents were able to make it out to the game. So, you know, you can question the validity of our Seahawks fandom, but
it's the most LA reasons possible. Mine right. was I was up late shooting something like a film thing, and Grant was displaced by literal wildfires. So the two most LA possible reasons to not go to a football game,
both valid in their own right. But yeah, we both got the chance to watch the game, and it was another close loss, like I said. It was another impressive performance by the Seahawks offense. And, you know, that's what we'll start. We'll start with the offense. And Russell Wilson definitely rebounded from the last game against the Chargers, but not in really the way that, you know, I thought he was going to. He really utilized his legs a lot in Sunday's game, which was really a welcome addition to the offense. We hadn't seen that a whole ton earlier this year. I don't know if it was, you know, out of necessity or injury or a combination of both, but, you know, I was definitely happy to see Russell Wilson moving the sticks and picking up these first downs, especially at crucial moments in the game.
Yeah, Russell Wilson was perfectly good when given the chance to play. It felt like we waited too long to get the passing game going, and I, you know, we lost a very narrow game to one of the three best teams in the NFL. So it's tough to be like, man, terrible strategy. I feel like there's been a lot of sort of reactive to Brian Schottenheimer's play calling response to this game. And like, look, I am the king of disliking some of what Schottenheimer's doing, but like, running the ball was a good strategy. Limit the number of possessions the Rams can have. Give yourself a chance to win it late. They did that two times now against the Rams. And so on the one hand, it's insane that Russell Wilson had like 23 yards passing like midway through the second quarter. On the other hand, you're right. He made the most impact he's made all season with his legs. I think his hamstring looks fully healthy, which is crucial going forward. And then when he had to make throws late, he largely did. Obviously, there were a couple plays that went badly, all of which were out of these play calls where they put 11 personnel on the field. The Seahawks use 11 personnel a ton. Only the Rams, I think, use it more, and that's fine. But when they – and it's not even motion. They just line the running back up and basically go five wide with a tight end, three wide receivers, and a running back. Those plays have led to two pick sixes and this crucial sack fumble in this game. We are 1-5 in one score games this year, and three of them were essentially lost on 11 personnel empty backfield catastrophes, and it's just infuriating, and I need them to stop. So Russ was good. He wasn't great. I think PFF had him as the 12th best quarterback this week, which seems about right. And then, I mean, look at that running game, man. Mike Davis and Rashad Penny both blew up, and it was great.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been down on the Penny pick, and I've particularly been down on the Penny pick. That's because of the value of picking a running back where we did. I want him to succeed, and I was so happy to see him succeed, and it looked sustainable. What he was doing was really cool.
Yeah, definitely. The way he was... And when I mention patience from a runner, it doesn't mean waiting there for two or three seconds. It's, you know, waiting for something to materialize at the drop of a dime and then being able to find where to go. And I think that's what we saw a little bit from Rashad Penny, especially on the 18-yard touchdown. He, you know, was a little bit of a misdirection, and he saw, you know, his lane open up when he cut it back, and he had an easy run to the end zone. But we saw decisiveness out of him. The line provided him with good opportunities to run, and yeah, I think we saw what we've been waiting to see, you know, the whole season. Just based off the like you said, the value of the pick. And if you're gonna pick a guy with the 27th overall pick and he's a running back, you better have something worth picking for. And we saw that breakaway speed, we saw some shiftiness, the
Some
cut
of those
ability.
diagonal lateral moves he was making were
Yeah.
awesome. Like
It
there were a
remind
couple.
this is a little
Yes.
rash of me, but it reminded me a little bit of Marshawn Lynch, how he was able
Oh.
to run laterally.
Yeah, I was thinking a little bit of rookie season Kareem Hunt.
DeMarco Murray was also really good at
Yeah,
that.
good. That's a great comp. And the other thing I want to say, and this was the craziest thing about the Seahawks offense, for me, Jordan Simmons ended up starting at guard, and he was good. It's two things come out of that. Well, obviously he wasn't great. He gave up that big pressure from Sue on like the second to last horrific sack that Wilson took, not the one that turned into a fumble, the one before that. But Ndamukong Suh's gonna sometimes if you're a rookie making your first start in the NFL, and only getting got once is a huge deal, especially when you're road grading for a team running for like 7 yards a carry. The other thing is, where's Ethan Posick right now?
Yeah.
What broken, and if he's broken, is that physically, or is he the wrong guy to run Mike Solari's system? And if that is the case, that is crushingly disappointing.
Yeah, because he looked like he had, probably the most potential out of every offensive lineman the Seahawks had before trading for Dwayne Brown. We were both really excited about what he could bring to the table, possibly, and we were, picketing for him to, get into the lineup at a lot of points in the season last year. And so for him to kind of, fall into this, this hole, it's kind of similar to Nas Jones. Both kind of productive players last season, really haven't had a role this year on the team, and the circumstances. I guess, I mean, you're able to do that because the offensive line has played really well, and Jerron Reed and Shamar Stephen have really stepped up on the defensive line. But yeah, these were, both a couple of really good guys going forward that we thought were going to have some impact, potentially in the next few years, really not have a role on this team. And it's super weird.
Yeah, no, I think it's super weird. And speaking of other high draft picks, I saw a lot of Jermaine Ifedi backlash. I had a lot of friends texting me, being like, "We gotta cut Jermaine Ifedi." Jermaine Ifedi had two dumb penalties in this game. One of them wasn't even that dumb. The holding penalty, it
Yeah.
was ill-timed, but like he kind of had to do it, and it wasn't egregious. He just got. Obviously, that personal foul penalty is terrible. But then we got it. They did a makeup call like 3 plays later on Dante Fowler. So it was just the refs were being really, really on guys saying things, which is super rare.
Oh, I hate that
Ifedi,
too.
I hated it. And Ifedi otherwise was fine. And so I just want to we've been talking about how Ifedi's been better this year, and obviously this wasn't his best week, but I just want to tap the brakes on the Ifedi's back to his old tricks nonsense. Or not nonsense, like he was back to his old tricks, but he was actually still blocking okay,
Yeah.
which at the end of the day is kind of what you need from your right tackle. So, just want to say that. I mean, again, we put up, what, 31 points? Like, and that was with a turnover and getting zero turnovers. That's pretty good. And so, I don't know, man. And that Rams team is good. It's tough.
It's
I
tough.
wish we won,
Yeah.
Grant.
What? Yeah. It's definitely hard to, be happy with close losses again. One final thing before we go to break, and I'll revisit the Rashad Penny talk. Having him have that kind of performance in LA is a little bit heartwarming. He grew up in the area, and for him to, jump into a larger role and really produce, have his first 100-yard game, have his first NFL touchdown in front of what, probably is a pretty big contingent that he had there. It's definitely, puts a smile on my face for him to do that, and it has me a lot more optimistic on him going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, and I think that's a good place to stop with the offensive discussion in this episode today. And we'll come back right after this break talking about the defense. And so stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Guys, people are always texting me, they're calling me, and they're asking me, who should I bet on, Spike? You know football. I need some money. Help me out. Give me the hot picks. And the answer is I don't know, man. I did say to pick the Seahawks this week, and they cover that 9-point spread pretty comfortably. But you probably know better than I who's going to win. And if you do know, you got to go to my bookie because who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. You got to bet with my bookie. They will pay you out every time. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online and their mobile site, it's easy to use. So you can lay down cash and win big. I've used my bookie and I've gotten paid out. So that's why I'm recommending it to you because when you win, they pay. You don't want to go with like some site you never heard of because when you win, they might not pay, and that's no good. And the best thing about my bookie, in-game live betting. So when you see Rashad Penny breaking off big runs, ruining Evan from Hawk Blogger's life, you can dive in and monetize that. Get on board. And when I say Rashad Penny, I'm being specific. You can bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player scores in the game. And when you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use the promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On, dollar for dollar match when you join MyBookie. That's MyBookie, MyBookie, promo code Locked On. You play, you win, you get paid.
And we're back with the next portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and we're going to move the discussion over to the defense. And before we get into any big discussion about whether the defense had a really disappointing day or just to their standards, to the fan standards, the Rams are a juggernaut offensively. And they put up 35, 36, 37 points like nothing. And for the Seahawks to give their offense as many chances as they did, I think having adjusted the standards, moving the goalposts for this defense, I think that this wasn't a terrible performance. The Rams offense is going to get theirs, and I think the Seahawks defense did a fine job on Sunday.
Yeah, there's two things that really stuck out to me. The first is zero turnovers. The fact that we were in this game despite zero turnovers means that even though the Rams were able to get theirs, we slowed them down enough. Now, mind you, the problem is we weren't really close to getting turnovers. There weren't any opportunities where we clearly had breaks on the ball or, really good opportunities to sack Jared Goff off the blind. We didn't have those Cliff Avril strip sacky moments. Those are how we've beaten the Rams in the past, or how we stuck with the Rams last time we played them. So not having those is bad on the one hand, but speaks well to the overall quality of the defense, despite the point total given up. The one thing, though, man, not having Earl Thomas on third and long sucks. It's just a real bummer. That third and 15 pass to Robert Woods, where Tedrick bit on the wrong way and Shaq was playing sort of the outside coverage over the top, and you see Woods break inside and Thompson's nowhere to be seen. On third and 15, if you are rushing three and dropping eight, a dude should not be open 20 yards down the field and so open. I mean, 4 yards of space in a radius around him. I mean, it was unbelievable. And it just speaks to how good our safety play has been, how crucial safety play is to the way Pete and Ken Norton scheme this team, and how not great Tedrick and especially Hill. I mean, McDougal had his moments. These guys aren't bad, but they are not great. And greatness is what we're used to. So that was really tough. It felt like that third and 15, other than the strip sack by Dante Fowler on Russ, was the moment where this game sort of got away from us.
Yeah, we saw something kind of similar to the first Rams game, that the Seahawks were able to keep up, and not only keep up but lead for a good portion of the game. And late in the game, when those when the plays start to matter a little bit more, the Rams step up and they find ways to convert. But that doesn't mean that they have to find it. The Seahawks just kind of gave them that play, and it was really disappointing to see, but obviously, what I just said, the Rams are going to find ways to do it. They're going to get theirs. It was just a matter of, being able to execute enough offensively to, outscore the Rams. And I think that's really the only way you can beat them. But I think I want to put the spotlight on Bobby Wagner, because, we talked about it a little bit, that he hasn't missed a tackle all year. And I think he had some kind of crazy stat like that last year for a large portion of the year. He's just the model of consistency. I think it was Mina Kimes who pointed it out on Twitter that, a lot of people thought there was going to be this huge, massive drop off in this defense. And Bobby Wagner is a very large reason why that isn't happening. I think him and Bradley McDougald are the two biggest reasons why that isn't happening. But, the model of consistency, the anchor of this defense, when you look to someone for just, absolutely stellar play game in and game out, Bobby Wagner is that person for the Seahawks defense, and he's the reason why, you're able to keep up with these teams, and give your offense enough chances to win some games.
And if I'm going to highlight sort of two guys who maybe didn't do enough on Sunday, and this is a little harsh, but I'm going to do it anyway. The first is Frank Clark. Frank Clark is obviously playing for a monster contract right now. He was able to get half a sack, but he was beat by Todd Gurley. He was on the wrong side of a bunch of blocks. He had problems, like he was put in positions where he couldn't just pin his ears back, and he wasn't super effective in those positions. And if you're talking about a guy getting a $20 million contract, you want, or $20 million a year, you want him to be killing it. And he had one tackle and half a sack, and they were running at him a lot. It would have been nice if he had made some others. Another guy who just didn't quite get it done, KJ Wright, only two tackles. That's not enough. And you question whether he's 100%, but the amount that they spent going to Todd Gurley, getting the screen game going, getting Robert Woods on fly sweeps, those sorts of plays, those are where KJ's gotta make an impact on the game. Two tackles, yikes. Meanwhile, Hill, Thompson, and McDougald all had five tackles. The safeties were cleaning stuff up, but if the safeties are cleaning stuff up, those are 8 yard gains, not 4 yard gains. That's how the Rams were able to sort of move the ball down the field, was, at a certain point being like, no, we're not just gonna get it by Bobby. We can get stuff going to the outside. That's how they got that easy touchdown after the turnover late in the game. So, there's good stuff and bad stuff on this defense. The scheme is solid. The Rams are great. It's tough to judge. Yeah, and Bobby again killing it. When do we talk about Dixon? Do we talk about Dixon now?
We talk about Dixon in a little bit.
Oh,
Well,
okay.
you mentioned the pass rush, and I think that a guy who's going to be valuable for the Seahawks going forward, and when we talked about that, we were looking in the preseason as Rasheem Green being that guy, but Jacob Martin has looked like he has a lot of potential. I'd say that he got closest to getting home on Goff more so than Frank Clark yesterday, and I like his speed. I like how he uses his hands, and it's just like these little things that keep him from getting to the quarterback. And I think those are things that he can work on, and keeping his footing, being able to be a little bit more flexible around the edge. It's really encouraging to see a player like him, drafted in what, the sixth round, be able to make a resemblance of an impact for this pass rush. It's going to be a big piece. It's going to put it's going to. Sorry, it's going to make the Seahawks' life a lot easier not having to find, that guy in the draft or in free agency if he pans out. Now, that's a big if, and it'd
That's
be
it.
tremendous value for the pick, but yeah, if he pans out, it's going to make the Seahawks' lives a lot easier.
Yeah, see, I think he's a rotational guy. I mean, he had pressures this week again. No tackles, no sacks, though. You know what I mean? For me, he's that third rotational defensive end. So, or Quentin Jefferson, they're fighting for that role next year. I think Rasheem Green settles at three tech. He just isn't quite there yet. And we still need an edge monster, even if we pay Frank money to be the Cliff Avril. Like, we need two edge rushers to just run this defense well. We need to be crashing the pocket from the outside. We're not doing it yet. Jacob Martin could be a piece. I just don't think he is a sort of Rolls-Royce piece.
That I mean that's a lot of it's pretty big expectation to put on a six round guy, but yeah, I just like his potential going forward, and I think obviously Rasheem has potential, but that's something to get into on another day where he's able to really make an impact on the game. And so I think we'll stop right there when we talk about the defense, and we'll move on to Dixon. We'll move on to game balls right after this break. So stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks. And we're back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And Spike, you know, Michael Dixon, he's almost run out of ways to amaze us. When greatness is the standard, you know, how do you, you know, jump over that bar you've set for yourself? He keeps just doing things, and I keep having to pick up my jaw and clap it back to the rest of my face just so I can watch the football game and not be so distracted by Michael Dixon.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he had a perfect punt. I mean, this was, I think, his best punting performance since week one, when obviously Denver, it's easier to punt there than pretty much anywhere else because of the altitude. Pinning, just going at the 1 yard line in the middle of the field, just balls out, hitting backspin, having the defender catch it on the two. Perfect stuff. He was bombing him, but not outkicking his coverage. There were a couple where I was a little worried. He hit 157 in the air. He hit one like 60 in the air. And it looked like our coverage might not be there. But then they return it 3 yards, and there's our coverage. Like, there was no room for their returner to get to the outside. So he's putting it right on the range, like perfectly on the edge of our coverage range. I mean, he's incredible. He's incredible. And, you know, he's also a threat. And so late in the game, when we were maybe going to do a second onside kick, we send him out. He can drop kick it, throw the Rams off. They have no chance of a return. But, you know, next time we go out, maybe he does onside kick it. We got teams thinking, you know, it's so cool. It's great. What's not to love?
Yeah, no, there's so much to love. And, you know, hopefully he keeps giving us these reasons to talk about him in his own exclusive special team segment. But yeah, we teased game balls. We'll start out that segment. So Spike, you know, who do you want to give your game ball to on the offense?
I'm going to go with Jordan Simmons. Again, he maybe wasn't our best player on offense, but given the shoes he had to fill in DJ Fluker, who's been incredible, given the quality and success of the Seahawks run game, given his ability to hold up for the most part against two great defensive tackles, and to really shock the world by even playing, got to go to Simmons for me.
Yeah, and you wonder, you know, obviously DJ Fluker is the starter going forward, but, you know, it's nice to have that depth to rely on. And I'll keep it, you know, I'll keep it simple. I'll talk about someone that we kind of mentioned already, Rashad Penny, to have that performance in LA with Chris Carson out. It's a whole new running back room for Seattle. And, you know, we can talk about the pick. It was, you know, extreme misuse of value for a first round pick. But if he pans out, if he performs like he did on Sunday against the Rams, the Seahawks have a really big problem going forward for opposing defenses when you talk about their running backs. You know, Chris Carson, Mike Davis, and now Rashad Penny have all shown that they're, you know, really good runners of the football, and behind this offensive line can really, really make a positive impact against these other teams.
Absolutely. Defensive side of the ball, game ball for me. You got Bobby Wagner last week. I'm taking Bobby Wagner this week. Yeah, nailed it. He had 13 tackles. He has not missed a tackle this season. He's only missed tackles over the last two seasons when he was injured playing the Rams last year. Other than that, he has not missed a tackle. Bobby Wagner, incredible.
Yeah, and it's kind of tough to find someone not named Bobby Wagner to give the other game ball to.
Oh, I just came up with one, but let's see if it's who you come up with.
Okay, and, you know, I don't even know if this, you know, is deserved from, you know, play, but, you know, Bradley McDougald went out there with a knee injury and still went out and played hard and still had a few tackles, didn't play a whole lot of the game. And so, yeah, I just think that, you know, for going out there and for being, you know, one of the guys that's, you know, keeping the Seahawks defense playing at an elite level, I think it's warranted to give him a game ball, if not for going out there hurt on Sunday, but, you know, playing so well and being the model of consistency opposite of Bobby Wagner for this defense.
Yeah, I go Jaron Reed would be my other guy. He almost had that pick. We were pretty good stopping Todd Gurley inside. But again, Bobby Wagner was the best player, so it doesn't matter. Great. I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Big game Thursday. My God. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it more this week. But
Yeah, I was just going to say, make sure you stay tuned. We got some interesting discussions going forward about this team's outlook for the rest of the season and beyond. We got some game previews going up. Like Spike said, the game is on Thursday. Thursday Night Football at home against the Packers. It's gonna be another really closely contested game. Both teams fighting for playoff position. So yeah, make sure you tune in to that Thursday Night Football. When you get home from work, flip on the TV, and I'm sure it will be on.
Yep, that is when the game will be on. Remember, always leave a 5-star review, listen to other podcasts on the podcast network, and if you're going to bet with MyBookie.
Yep. All right. And so I think that does it. So for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, also signing off.